this morning. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, the entrance of your word gives light, and so we pray that your spirit would take your word home to our hearts and minds. We pray that you would show us more and more how we should live and keep in step with your spirit, for the glory of your name. Amen. We're looking this morning at the last cluster of the nine Christian graces we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks in this sermon series. Remember that the first three were about our attitude to God, primarily love, joy, and peace. Then our attitude to others, the social manhood aspects of a Christian life, patience, kindness, and goodness. And the triad we're focusing on today is the inward ones, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's striking that these three, like the other six we have been looking at, are rooted in the character of God himself. Because these qualities are found in the Godhead, not just in human beings. Let's take them one by one. First, there's faithfulness. The Lord Jesus did not ask his followers to be clever or successful, but he did require them to be reliable and trustworthy. It's therefore no surprise that faithfulness is mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. And our inward selves are being marked by fidelity and dependability. The word which we in English translate as faithfulness comes from the Anglo-Saxon word faith, F-E-Y-T-H. And that means to fasten oneself to stick close to. And actually God does that to us. He sticks close to us faithfully. And we too are to fasten ourselves to the Lord God. Yes, faithfulness is part of God's character, which we're able to possess as the Holy Spirit is at work in us. Paul in Romans chapter 3 verse 3 asks, what if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? And Paul's answer is, no, not at all. Well, the writer of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 33, as he writes about the faithful work of the Lord Jesus at the cross, tells us, let us hold unswervingly the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. How about 2 Timothy 2, verse 13? Paul writing, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Then the Psalms also pick up on this theme of faithfulness. So Psalm 119, verse 90, your faithfulness continues through all generations. And even in creation and in the heavenly places, the faithfulness of God is to be seen. Heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. That's Psalm 89 and verse 5. When our Christian life begins by the supernatural work in us wrought by God's faithfulness, well, that continues in our lifelong faithfulness as well. And the Lord Jesus reminds us of that call in a parable he told, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. It's about three men given different amounts of money when their master went away. And two are commended, and one most certainly is not commended. Let me read it to you. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. The man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And then later the master returns. And the first two say, see what I've done, master, with what you gave me. I've made more from it. And Jesus says in that parable to the first two, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Very different for the one who did nothing with it. He is not commended at all. I think of Hebrews 11, that great gallery of people commended their faith. And some of them are known to us by name, and others are unknown. And yet, they were people who were faithful, often at great cost and in great adversity. Wonderfully persevering faith brings blessing. So in James chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Or Paul, at the end of his life, says, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, "I fought the good fight, I finished a race, I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness." That's promised to all who long for his appearing and live a life of Christian faithfulness. Catherine Booth was a remarkable woman. She was the wife of the founder of the Salvation Army. She's a person who, through faithfulness to Christ, became victorious in many areas of her life. As a child, she was delicate. She was bedridden at 14 with spinal troubles, again at 17 with infected lungs. And yet she became a mother of 8 children and had seemingly limitless energy to help her husband during the 25 years as they began the Salvation Army. She was temperamentally timid. She was intellectually untaught. And yet, when went on to be one of the great preachers of the 19th century. At 60, a lump was discovered in her breast. It was diagnosed as cancer. And although her health declined over the next 2 years, her spirit seemed to soar. Just before her death, she sent a message to all the members of the Salvation Army throughout the world. She said this in that letter, "The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over." Catherine Booth, faithful to the end of her life. And the Spirit working in us supernaturally cultivates in us too that faithfulness to Christ, enables us also to ride over the storms of life. A second, gentleness, sometimes translated meekness, and is a strong word. Meekness is not weakness. Again, gentleness is part of God's character. I love Isaiah chapter 53. And there in verse 7, we read about the gentleness of the Christ who was to come. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers are silent, so he did not open his mouth. All those famous words, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I often go back in my mind to Jesus riding into Jerusalem that last time on a donkey. Such meekness and lowly dignity as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that occasion. Or Paul in Philippians 2, verse 7, we're told he made himself, that is Jesus, nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, gentle, meek, with lowly dignity, showed the real way for us to live. And if the Lord has supernaturally worked in our life, gentleness will be evident in a whole host of different ways. There's one man who you may not have heard of in the Bible, a man called Leotrephes. He's mentioned in John's letter, 3 John. And we're told about Leotrephes that he loved to be first. But actually, we'd have a gentleness, not loving to be first. And we're told, as Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. Indeed, the Apostle Paul elsewhere in 2 Corinthians begins that letter saying, I beseech you by the meekness, the gentleness of Christ, to live like this. There's no place for pride and self-seeking. Think of the tremendous steps downwards our Lord Jesus took. He came as a man, not as an angel. He had no special privileges. He was a man with all the human limitations, privations, and temptations we experience. He didn't just come as a man, he lived as a servant, not a prince. Yes, early years, working in a carpenter's shop. No great advantage through birth or education or money. No, he had a simple, very simple life, very meek and humble life. Remember that he could say that he had nowhere to lay his head. He was born in a stable. Such a simple, meek life. And then he also took another step downward. That was, he died as a criminal, not a hero, the head of an army. He died on the cross, a painful and humiliating death. Probably the most cruel sort of death which any man has invented. And yet Jesus came as a man, lived as a servant, and died for us on the cross. Maybe a third on to self-control. Certainly man has learned to control so much in the world, though the COVID-19 virus has reminded us there's much we don't control. The one thing we do know is that men and women have not learned to control themselves. But self-control, by God's grace, can happen in our lives. It can become more and more part of our life. What is self-control? It's a sense of self-mastery. And the word self-control derives from a Greek word which means strong, having mastery, being able to control one's thoughts and actions. John Wesley's mother wrote to him when he was an undergraduate up at Oxford in Christchurch. And there, one day a letter arrived from his mother, and she wrote in it this: anything which increases the authority of the body over mind is an evil thing. She's a Christian woman. I think she's aware that self-control is something absolutely vital in anybody's life. Indeed, Solomon, the great King Solomon, also knew that. He wrote in a proverb found in Proverbs 25, verse 28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Think about Paul. The end of his life, he talked about knocking his body into shape, his appetites, dealing with them so they are best directed in the best ways. All we need to live a Christian life has been given if we have God's Holy Spirit in us. One of our readings this morning was from 2 Peter chapter 1. And that reading has this verse: his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Perhaps you're saying that the graces we're looking at today, this faithfulness, this self-control, and this gentleness, are not possible for us. But actually, they are, because the Spirit's at work in our lives. And so Peter says, make sure that you add different things to your life. So he says, to faith add goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance kindness, to kindness love, and so on. The appetites controlling us will vary. There's so much of physical appetites, things like food or drink or sex, and those can be misused. They're in the right place, they're good things. There's not just physical appetites. There's also what I might call mental habits. Think about your home life or your work life. Because so often, things pop out of our lives. Unkindness, gossip, pride, jealousy. Let's make sure that in those areas, we show self-control. Friends, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. There's no escape for the young and no retirement for the old. But actually, these characteristics which are written about in Paul's letter, we need to keep before us all nine of them. And yes, what is vital for our inner being are the ones we've looked at this morning. Faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. May we, by God's Spirit, become more and more to be people who are characterized by those things. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, we know that we are weak in ourselves. And so we thank you for the miracle of new birth. We thank you that your Spirit works in our lives and make us more like Jesus. Create in us these aspects of your character, we pray. In Jesus' sake, Amen.